This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Investor Download, the podcast about the themes driving markets and the economy now and in the future. I'm your host, David Brett. With people locked down during the pandemic and relying on technology to keep in touch with loved ones, purchase goods and remain entertained, services supplied by big tech such as Meta, Google, Microsoft and Netflix were in huge demand. Their revenues and profits soared, and so did their share prices, many of which hit all-time highs along the way. But last week, something historic happened in the stock market.
Those Meta shares are plummeting on lower than expected first quarter guidance, as well as some evidence of user struggles for Facebook, the core app.
In fact, Meta lost $238 billion in market cap in one day, making it the largest one-day loss by any company ever in history of the stock market.
Meta, formerly known as Facebook, lost more than a quarter of its value after disappointing results. To make matters worse, it came just days after Google's parent company, Alphabet, announced stellar results. So expectations were high.
So you've got Google and Amazon, Microsoft, ServiceNow all doing really well. And so there's just phenomenal stories that are really having, you know, no speed bumps. So Facebook puts up a 20% growth quarter and then guides 3 to 11% top line for Q1. And, the record scratch and the books fell off the shelves. And everyone's going, what's going on?
Look, this is the kind of market we're living in right now. There are a lot of investor jitters and there are a number of things around Facebook. Some of them, I think, were specific to Facebook that are real questionable and can be for a long period of time. And then, there's a lot of questions around the macro environment, and Facebook really spooked investors on both of those fronts.
I think this reaction is quite extraordinary.
Here's a common trap with the market. Sometimes when we get a surprise stock move, we amplify the facts to match the move.
While Meta's results and the subsequent share price drop stole the headlines, it's not been a good start to the year for many of the biggest companies in the world, not just big tech.
Given the fast fall that we had at the start of this year, we saw the S&P go into correction territory, the NASDAQ down almost 18%, crypto getting killed, small caps getting killed, a lot of damage being done under the surface.
But I think when you peel that back, things look a lot worse on the individual stock level. It gets a lot uglier. I looked at companies across the universe with a market cap of more than $10 billion. And what I found is that more than 200 of them are trading around 20% or more off their highs. And we're not just talking, Cathie Wood's ARK fund. These are S&P 500 behemoths.
So in this show, we're going to look at what's going on in the biggest stock market in the world with fund managers Frank Forman and Alex Tedder, and try to figure out whether big tech is in terminal decline or whether it's a short-term blip, and what investors might do about it. But in the first part of the show, we're going to take a closer look at the travails at Meta.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
On Thursday, February the 3rd, Meta announced its results.
Good afternoon, my name is France, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Meta fourth quarter and full year 2021 earnings conference call. All lines have been...
In response, its share price was down, at one point more than 25%, wiping more than $230 billion off its valuation.
Well, it was historic. As you said, it was the largest ever move in absolute dollar terms that we've seen in the US market. Which is pretty extraordinary.
That's Alex Tedder.
But then again, arguably, the move was quite justified.
Frank Thorman agrees, and he says that there were large disappointments on several fronts. The first, and he thinks most worrying, is the weakening competitive positioning of Meta and of the Facebook brand in particular.
So the backdrop is one where for some time Meta has been operating in, let's say, a quasi-monopoly position for social media and social advertising.
But what we're now seeing is a definite deterioration in engagement. In other words, people are using Facebook less, particularly core Facebook is being used less. And you can see that in daily active users. So the number of people who are using it daily is actually falling year on year for the first time. That's quite a change. And you drill down and you look at, well, is there a specific reason for that? Well, one of the reasons is the younger demographic, in particular the 18 to 24 year olds, are going elsewhere.
In recent quarters, there's been a very, very strong new competitor emerging, TikTok, which is showing a very rapid rise in popularity as measured by app downloads and time spent on the TikTok platform.
Want a good time and you want it now, it's TikTok time.
The company is private, so it's a bit difficult to get reliable data, but the analysis that we've been doing clearly shows that TikTok is surging rapidly in popularity, particularly for younger demographics.
MySpace is dead, Facebook is a senior citizen, Instagram is an adult, Snapchat is a millennial, and TikTok is a centennial. I don't know what necessarily all that means, but it doesn't necessarily sound good for Meta.
In mid-2021, a little more than a year after the launch of Instagram Reels, a short-form video feature very much like TikTok, Facebook brought Reels to its core app in the US in the hope it would cut TikTok's user base. That does not seem to have happened so far, judging by results, although Meta said it continues to believe in the Reels platform. But there's another big problem facing Meta, according to Thorman.
The second big problem that Meta is facing is Apple has instituted rigorous new privacy changes. Those were announced last year and they're currently being implemented. And it turns out that the impact of those privacy changes are much more meaningful and negative than expected. Let me just explain. So at the heart of Meta's business model is their ability to track and measure users and then offering its advertisers the ability to really target ad placements. And advertisers are willing to pay larger amounts the more precise this ad targeting is. So as a result of these Facebook changes, it now becomes much more difficult to track its users. So as a result, Facebook's ad measuring capabilities are declining. And while Facebook is certainly investing heavily to try to figure this out and circumvent this, the current implications are quite negative. And the final thing I'll say is that Facebook has come out full steam in terms of spending initiatives in trying to fix the two issues that we just discussed. And thirdly, investing very, very heavily in the metaverse. The CEO Zuckerberg is 100% convinced that the metaverse is the future of the internet and has allocated over $10 billion per year in spending initiative to try to be the winner.
But they, in my view, they made a classic strategic error in changing the name of the company to a thing that is not even in existence yet and will not make them money and in fact will cost them tons of money for like a decade. You know how long that is to ask people to wait for this company to actualize into this new incarnation?
Whether or not Facebook's name change to Meta and its bet on the metaverse is right remains to be seen. But both Thorman and Tedder agree that while the market is sceptical on the outcome of Meta's $10 billion a year bet on the metaverse, the fall in the share price is more down to Meta surrendering eyeballs to competitors such as TikTok.
You have seen the rise of new competitors, and the standout competitor is currently TikTok, as you point out. And it's really interesting that Mark Zuckerberg, on this quarterly call that was just reported, for the first time acknowledged that TikTok itself was a major challenger, a major threat to the outlook for Facebook and probably for Instagram too.
It's certainly not easy for a company like Meta because they have a very large installed base, and if they move too fast, too far, they certainly risk upsetting its installed user base. And if they move too slow, too timidly, they risk losing more market share. So they're certainly investing heavily. They're keenly aware of this problem, but I don't think it's very easy or quick to fix.
While those problems and fixes appear on the surface to be issues faced predominantly by Meta, it didn't prevent investors fleeing from other tech stocks, such as Netflix. So in part two of the show, we'll be looking at what's happening to big tech and the market more broadly.
Get in touch with us by email at shorterspodcasts@shorters.com or visit our website, shorters.com/investor download.
It's been an uncomfortable start to 2022 for some of the world's biggest companies. The US S&P 500 is down almost 6%. And the Nasdaq, home to many of the big tech names, is down around 10%.
Well, I would just put this into a bit of context, one of exceptionally strong equity markets, particularly for technology companies in recent years. So recall that the Nasdaq Composite is still up over double from the lows in March of 2020, so doubling in less than 2 years. It's obviously historically relatively unprecedented. So in that sense, I would characterize as a 10% decline as a smaller correction. But at the same time, it's something investors ought to take seriously.
But Tedder believes there's two underlying issues at play here.
One is, and you'll if you listen to me talk in the recent past, you'll know that we've been increasingly concerned about the sort of hype in the market, the effect of liquidity and a lot of retail investors, if you like, playing the market and investing regardless of valuation. And valuation, particularly in the hyper growth, the high growth part of the market, had become very extended. We've been quite concerned about this for a while and indeed have been expecting some form of correction or reset in the hyper growth space. And that's exactly what's happened, Duncan, in the last few weeks, is a major reset, particularly amongst those companies that don't generate any profits currently and which, you know, have been all about the top line growth, the revenue growth and the story attached to that revenue growth. So valuation has certainly been a major issue, just the absolute level of valuation. And then on top of that, the second reason is the simple fact that as rates rise, typically companies that are assessed by investors on the basis of future growth tend to do less well. And that is because of what we call the duration effect. It's the fact that when you're assessing future earnings, you apply a discount rate to get to today's value. As that discount rate rises, today's value falls.
Basically, the price the market is willing to pay for future earnings falls when the interest rates begin to rise.
And that's exactly what's been happening with a lot of growth stocks, is that as the perception builds that rates are rising, and indeed they are already rising, the discount rate has risen, and therefore the value of these securities in many cases has come down, and come down quite materially in the case of the Nasdaq. And so that's a natural evolution of the market, if you like, and a logical evolution of the market, and it will continue to present challenges to investors this year.
And with inflation, or the cost of living, estimated to top 7% in some countries in 2022, rates are expected to rise. The UK has already raised interest rates this year. The expectation is that Europe will follow suit. And there is the possibility the Federal Reserve might raise rates in the US 4 or 5 times this year. And that will have an impact on the shape and the evolution of the market. So in the final part of the show, we'll look at what that means for big tech. Is it the end of an era or a short-term challenge? And more broadly for investors and what they might do about it. The falls in the stock market at the start of 2022 have been during a crucial earnings season. And while Meta may have disappointed, on the whole, Thorman says earnings have been encouraging.
So we're currently at the peak of the reporting of Q4 2021 earnings season for the United States. We're roughly 60% complete at the time of this recording. And the early conclusion is certainly that corporate earnings in the United States continue to be very, very strong. The earnings per share average beat versus analyst expectations has been 6% so far, which is very strong historically. And the revenue beat rate at 3% is also very, very strong. And most sectors of the economy are surprising positively. On a year-over-year measure, revenues for the market in the United States are tracking up 16 percentage points versus the fourth quarter of last year, and earnings per share up 27% year over year. And recall that the prior year comparison, so Q4 of 2020, had already recovered back to an all-time high. So it's not like the year over year comparisons were easy. It just illustrates how strong corporate profitability really is.
Thorman adds that for 2022, analysts currently expect earnings to slow. So it appears investors are pricing in the risk rising inflation and interest rates pose to those disruptive growth-type companies. And given Meta's results, it would be easy to begin writing off the big tech era. But Tedder says there are two things investors should consider and focus on to help them through the current environment. The first is pricing power, which is the ability for companies, particularly in big tech, to raise their prices and be able to retain and perhaps even gain new customers as a result of strong market positions, and companies that are profitable rather than profitless and have cash flow.
Google, for example, is a great example of that. Microsoft is another great example of that. Amazon is also an example of that. They've raised the prices of Prime membership very materially last week. They have pricing power, and that will stick. Those companies will continue to do well this year, regardless of which sector they're in. Companies that have pricing power will do well. I think the second aspect to remember is right now, clearly energy prices are exploding. There is concern generally about interest rates and the impact on valuations, which we've discussed. It's no wonder that investors are looking elsewhere. They're looking at sectors that have been out of favor, like the energy sector. That is going to continue this year and beyond.
The energy sector is one that had been written off by many investors as a dinosaur of the last century and increasingly uninvestable for financial reasons as well as for ESG considerations. But what we're seeing is that the current fast economic recovery and reopening also means a surging demand for transportation and oil and energy. As a consequence. So these energy companies have really been benefiting from a very strong recovery in oil and natural gas prices, and in many instances are back to peak profitability against a backdrop of generally skeptic investors. They have staged a very, very strong market recovery.
But what we don't want to do and what we're not doing is lose sight of the longer term perspective. And the longer term perspective is that we're living in a world that is transforming, that is ongoing, whether it's energy transition or digitalization, consumer preferences in terms of sustainability, food production. All these areas are areas that are evolving. These trends have not gone away and arguably getting more and more powerful as we go through time. So we think you don't want to lose sight of those longer term trends. And actually, if we have more of a reset in some of these growth areas, that will present some tremendous opportunities for investors. So that's what really kind of where we're at. There's a shorter term headwind for many of these growth names, but longer term, the outlook is still very good.
Here's what else investors are talking about. The The debate over the value and growth investment stars has been intense in the opening weeks of this year. Value's relative outperformance has been eye-catching, with the MSCI World Value Index returning minus 1.3% in January compared to minus 9.3% for MSCI World Growth. In some ways, though, this is just a continuation of last year's oscillations, which saw some periods of outperformance for growth and some for value. Value investor Nick Kirridge explains why investors should be wary of easy narratives to explain market moves in his article, What's Behind Value's Recent Renaissance? You can find Nick's article at schroders.com/insights, where you can read, watch and listen to much, much more. Well, that was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, check out our website, schroders.com/theinvestor download. You can also get in contact with us about anything in the show or ideas for future shows at schroderspodcast@schroders.com. Please remember to subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review. We're now doing one show a week, which will be available every Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. Thanks very much for listening, but above all, keep safe and go well. Cheers.